Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois. Since 1916, Farm Credit Illinois has been helping farm families succeed, providing farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing. Farm Credit Illinois joins in celebrating the rich history of Illinois agriculture.
Well, from Lincoln Land Community College in Litchfield, Illinois, I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, live at one of our Will Ag panels. Coming up during the closing market report this afternoon on this March day, we'll talk with Chip Nellinger. He's at Blue Reef Agri Marketing. Drew Lerner will be here to take a look at the weather forecast, too. And we'll also go through the Arc County payments from last fall. They'll be delivered in this coming fall. And crop insurance, that with Gary Schnitke, right here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
We hear what the numbers look like on this Wednesday afternoon from the CME Group in Chicago. March corn was 0.75 cents higher at the end of the day at 354.5. May at 356.25, up a half. And July at 360.75, down a half, rather up a half cent. September futures at 366.25, also 0.75 cents higher. And December at 374.5, up 0.75. Soy complex now. March beans at 854.25, 3.5 higher as they finished off a Wednesday afternoon. May at 861.5, up 3.5, and July at $8.67.75, up 4. November beans, 875, 5 cents higher for the day. Bean meal March contract up $3.10, 261.20, the settlement price. March bean oil settled at 30.17. That finished 15 cents lower on the day. March wheat futures up 4.25 at $4.42.75, the May at 450.25, 4.25 higher, and the July futures at 456.25, up 3.75 all for the soft red. The hard red July at 464.75, up 5.5 cents. Live cattle futures in Chicago, April contract 136.37.5, 72.5 cents lower for the day. June at 126, down 35 cents. Feeder cattle in the March at 158.22.5, up 17.5, and April contract 15 cents lower at 157.80. The lean hogs were 100 pounds at $70.10, down 30 cents. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason, traveling today. Coming to you from Lincoln Land Community College in Litchfield, Illinois, where this morning we hosted another one of our Will Ag panels. Speaking of which, don't forget to get your tickets. Still can do that right now online for the All-Day Ag Outlook. The address there is willag.org. The cost is $30. Or you can dial this number, 800-898-1065. That's 800-898-1065.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at AgriGold.com.
Checking out the outside markets at this hour, March ethanol futures at $1.35 are down a penny and 8 cents. Crude oil is trading 33 cents higher at $34.72 a barrel. The gasoline at $1.30 and 7 cents is 0.4 cents higher. And heating oil or diesel fuel for the afternoon at $1.10 and 6 cents. That's up about 0.5 cents. Crude oil, or rather natural gas, at $1.68 and 6 cents is down 0.5 and 0.6 cents. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 16,818 is 32 points lower. The U.S. dollar at 98.155 is down 2.11. And the gold futures on the afternoon up $11.75 at $1,242.50. That for a troy ounce. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area tonight. Rain, some snow. After 8 this evening, lows of about 31 degrees. East-southeast winds at 6 to 14. They'll gust all the way to 18. The chance of precipitation this evening set at 80%. New snow of about 1 to 2 inches is possible. Now tomorrow, rain, some more snow, mainly before 1 in the afternoon. A high of 39 degrees. The southeast wind at 10 to 15 miles an hour will turn to the north-northeast in the afternoon. Winds gusting as high as 20. The chance of precipitation on Thursday during the day, 80%. No new snow accumulation. Well, maybe a half inch or so would be possible. And then on Thursday night, a chance of rain, some snow after 7 o'clock in the evening. Cloudy, gradually becoming partly cloudy, a low of 24. We'll take a more complete look at the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City.
Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stuart-peterson.com.
I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason at the Lincoln Land Community College building in Litchfield, Illinois today for one of our Will Ag panels. Don't forget, you can get in on this next week at WILL's All Day Ag Outlook over at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Tickets are still on sale, just $30. Go online, willag.org, or dial this number, 800-898-1065. This morning, one of our presenters was from Blue Reef Agri-Marketing. Chip Nellinger drove in from Morton, Illinois. Chip, thanks so much for doing that. What was the set of slides you brought with you? It was all about fundamentals in the marketplace.
Yeah, basically just kind of reiterating what the USDA Ag Forum showed from the supply and demand a week or so ago. And the reality is that even though they put 90 million acres, that's probably going to be on the high side of what we see. That survey is being taken right now for the March 31st acreage report. And the 168 trend line yield, you know, is you look at the reality of the last 5 to 10 years, we've only averaged about a 153, 154 bushel crop. It wouldn't take much of a shortfall below trend line to really change the fundamental outlook and really tighten that carry out up and give us some pricing opportunities down the road.
And what was the trend line yield again?
168 is where the USDA had that pegged at the outlook for them.
And so some of the things that you showed producers this morning here in Litchfield was how the changes could happen in the supply and demand figure. So kind of go through some of the numbers that might be there on what the supply side could look like for corn using different numbers than the trend line yield.
Yeah, exactly. And so if you just pare that down a little bit, put 154 bushel yield in there, which would still be on the high side, even sifting back or ratcheting back the demand a little bit, Ag Forum had 13.7 billion bushel total demand. So if you plug in the 90 million acres and 154 bushel yield and even ratchet back demand by 125 million, it shrinks the carryout under a billion bushels, and that's likely enough to get us up over $4, maybe approaching $5 if the right outside market issues are there as well. So, you know, the take home is we don't have to end up with that. We just need the market for a period of time to fear or I guess be scared that we're going to be somewhere under that 168 trend line yield.
Okay, so go back through the number again. What's the carryout for USDA, and then what's the carryout at 154.3 yield, which is the one you used?
Yep, so the Ag Forum used 90 million planted acres, a 13.725 billion bushel total demand, and they come out with a 1,977 carryout. That's got the stocks-to-use ratio just under 15%. If you use the same 90 million planted acres, and lower demand to 13.6, we come out with a 975 million bushel carryout and a 7.5% stocks to use ratio. So it's a much tighter situation. And 154 bushel crop isn't a disaster. That's a top 10 crop. That's a good size crop nationally. So the point with that is, here, early March, the market's getting a little ahead of itself. Assuming we're going to plant 90 million acres, assuming that we've got this massive crop coming, we might actually have the third back-to-back-to-back record crop, but we haven't turned a planter wheel yet, so we got a long way to go before that's in the bin.
Yeah, but 975 million, which is your carryout. So did you change the consumption or usage side of that marketplace to get to that number? That's really low.
Well, actually, I lowered demand by 125 million bushels compared to what the Ag Outlook Forum used. So, you know, there's a lot of people bearish on demand right now. So I made that assumption. I said even with 90 million acres at 154 national average yield and 125 million bushels less demand than what the Ag Outlook Forum had, we still cut that carryout below a billion bushels.
What happens if we go to 173 on our national average?
That's the problem. That is the problem. Your demand will likely increase because prices will be lower. So I still plugged in that 13.7 Ag Outlook total demand. And unfortunately, with 90 million planted acres and 173 bushel crop, that'll be two bushels better than our best ever crop. we're knocking on the door of 2.4 billion bushel carryout. Stocks to use ratio grows quite a bit. That likely means we're $3 or under for a harvest low on December futures. So point being here, there's still a lot of volatility that's left in this market, and don't be, lulled to sleep right now because we've been in such a narrow trading range for several months.
Hold it, wait a second. So what are the numbers again price-wise for the 154.3 average and the 173 average?
Yeah, price-wise, if we would get the market fearing that we're in that, say, 155 or under range, and we're going to tighten the carryout to a billion bushels or under, we're likely going to get chances, north of 450, maybe as high as 550. I think the top end of that range depends on the outside markets. That would mean crude oil and a little better, brighter outlook in the outside financial markets and the world economy. On the other side of the equation, with a record, another record, 173 bushel crop, we're likely looking at 4 to 410 for maybe a high on the outside chance, and probably somewhere potentially $3 to 80 for some type of a harvest low.
And finally, what should producers do with all this information? How do they take it in and then try to figure a marketing plan for the coming year?
Yeah, it starts with knowing your cost of production, and not just your seed, nitrogen, fertilizer, but your total cost. Right down to the trash pickup on the farm, literally. Every cost, plug that in and take that across what your average yield is, your APH. That gives you the price per bushel that covers all your costs. And then you can start playing some what-if scenarios. What if I'm 10 bushels above my APH? What if I'm 10 bushels below? What if price goes to 420? What if and also figure in your crop insurance guarantee. And that's a very powerful foundation to then make a plan and say, well, if we do get a rally to 420 December futures, what should I do with that? Is that a profitable level? Does that make sense to sell some? But it starts with knowing your costs. And it doesn't make it any easier, but at least you know where you're at. At any point in time, we get some volatility flare up in the summer. It takes a little bit of the emotion out of making those marketing decisions.
Thanks so much, Chip, and thanks for coming to Litchfield with us.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
Chip Nellinger, of course, is with Blue Reef Agri Marketing. You can find him online from time to time with us at willag.org, willag.org. Don't forget to get your tickets for the all-day agricultural outlook. You can do that right now on that website or by calling 800-898-1065. They're still on sale, but you'll have to pick them up at the event. That's Tuesday next week, March the 8th. The other item is that last night I was in Sherman, Illinois, with another panel, and Gary Schnitke was with me. For those of you who listened to the home radio station this morning, you heard some of what that conversation I had with him on the car, frankly, in the car, as we were driving back to Champaign last night around, 9:30 or 10 o'clock in the evening about crop insurance. And Arc County sounded like, I'm going to run that again from you now because there's a lot of really good information. Gary will be at the all day next week. But you want to take a moment here and pay really close attention to what crop insurance looks like and then what Arc County payments might be for the 2015 crop or the one that you harvested last fall. That's up next.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, traveling this week across the state of Illinois with Gary Schnitke, agricultural economist. We were in Sherman on Tuesday evening, and I'll be in Litchfield during the day on Wednesday. We talked a little bit about both crop insurance and the Arc County potential payments for the 2015 growing season, or the last growing season, with Gary at the Sherman event. Gary is with me now. Tell me just a little bit about crop insurance and what producers can expect this year as they go to make some of those decisions by the 15th day of March.
Yeah, so we have our new projected prices for 2016, and those are $3.86 for corn, projected price, and $8.85 for soybeans. So we have those set. The big thing about those prices is that they are lower than last year. Both corn and soybeans down more than corn. So we'll have lower guarantees, but we also have lower premiums this year, partly because of the lower prices but also because of much lower volatilities this time around. So those lower volatilities are going to lower our premiums.
Why are the lower volatilities there? This is something I don't think you expected earlier in the year.
Yeah, so, you know, we didn't expect these lower volatilities. And those volatilities are based on what's happening to premiums on puts and calls. And those premiums were relatively low during the last half of February. So those low premiums have resulted in those low volatilities. So we don't have much variability in the markets right now, and that's reflected in lower volatilities.
Explain to me exactly what a volatility is and how much change was there from this year to previous years.
So a volatility measures how much variability the market is saying there is in the market. It's derived using a Black's model, but a 0.17 volatility basically means is that the variability around the mean is measured by the standard deviation is 0.17 times the projected price. So a lower volatility means lower variability. Compared to last year, we had a 0.19 volatility for corn. That's now 0.17. And soybean volatility is 0.12, which is down from 0.17 last year. So the soybean volatility came down quite a lot.
So the point being that the premiums this year will give farmers at least one place that they might save a little money, although you're not suggesting that they save money by lowering their coverage.
No, but there likely will be a lower premiums for the same coverage level. I would suggest not lowering coverage levels to save premium. We still have quite a bit of risk in the market, and you know, if we do have low price or high yield or caused by high yields or a drought, we still want to have that protection there, because we're likely starting out in a place where we're looking at marginal returns to losses at our expected levels, and crop insurance in this year is going to protect us against really large losses. So I would not be lowering coverage levels this year.
A couple of other things that you covered tonight. We were at a meeting that was sponsored by Logan County in the central part of the state, Farm Bureau that is, but we were in Sangamon County. You covered the ARP, which I believe is the Area Revenue Program. Can you tell me about it and what it looks like in both of those counties, because it's representative, I think, of some of the variability that this might have across the state, and possibly give some reasons to or not to use this kind of program as opposed to the RP programs most people usually take.
So ARP is a county-level revenue program. It makes payments based on what happens to county revenue, and county yields play into it. It uses the same projected and harvest prices as RP. The big advantage of ARP is that you can buy a 90% coverage level. So if you're looking for more price protection, ARP is a good alternative. It also works well for situations where farms are moving into a county and would have to be using P yields in determining their guarantees. So ARP works in those situations. And then farmers that are larger acres-wise and cover a wide part of the county find that ARP provides some pretty good protection. ARP, the premiums on those products will vary from county to county quite a lot. Just to give you an example, the Sangamon County premium for a 90% coverage level was in the mid-$20 range, and Logan County was in the high $40 range, or low $40 range. So that's quite a bit of difference. Why that is because of the rating procedures that RMA uses. So you do have to look at the county and look at the premium cost relative to what you're getting. And that will vary from county to county to county. And just as the Sangamon and Logan County example showed, it can vary a lot from adjacent counties. So ARP, if you want to really focus on price protection, but realize you're giving up farm coverage and going to a county guarantee.
And then finally, on the crop insurance subject, before we get to ARC County and potential payments for 2015 that would arrive in October, there is a whole farm coverage. I've been asked about this a couple of times during the year. What is it used for, and is there a reason the producers in the state of Illinois would consider such a thing?
Yeah, so whole farm coverage bases its coverage on the whole farm, and it uses tax returns in determining its guarantees. It tends to work better for those farmers with a lot of enterprises that aren't corn and soybeans. Corn and soybeans are pretty well covered by the RP, YP, the combo sorts of products. So those tend to work better, or tend to cover pretty well corn and soybeans. If we have more crops, the whole farm policy tends to work better in that sort of situation. Whole farm, it uses tax returns. It's a bit perhaps more complicated than the combo product, but it tends to work for farms with more crops and enterprises.
And then finally, if you could take up the ARC County, its potential payment. This is the new program that was put into place by the 2014 Farm Bill that is the catch-all that producers use, and most producers have signed up for it in the state of Illinois.
Yeah, so ARC County for 2015, we still don't know the payment levels on that because we don't know the exact yields yet. FSA will calculate those yields, but we have a pretty good idea of what those are from Nash yields, and we still don't know the market year average price. But corn is going to make, our ARC County will make payments for corn in all but about two counties in this state, and then most counties will be having payments in the $50, $60, $70 an acre range. So ARC County is going to be making fairly large payments for corn. Soybeans, about half the counties are going to get payments on soybeans, and they're going to be in the $30 to $40 an acre range. Again, we won't know what those are, but we have a pretty good idea of what those are. There's a FarmDoc Daily map of them that shows estimated premiums, payments for ARC County. So we have a pretty good idea, and those will be received in October of 2016.
Of course, these are projections, and you can always just visit the FarmDoc Daily website and look for them. Or if you want to go to willag.org, the whole of the article as written and posted by Gary Schnitke is there. We're talking with him today. He's an agricultural economist. One of the counties that will not, at least at this point, receive a projected payment for corn, while everybody else will be getting close to the maximum, I believe, is Piatt County, right near our radio station here in Champaign County. Why is that the case?
Because Piatt County had exceptional yields. Their corn yield was, I believe, right around 215 bushels per acre. So that high yield, ARC County is a county program. It compares county revenue, which is county yield, times price. And that county yield, high county yield, caused it to be above the guarantee.
Thank you so much, Gary.
You're welcome, Doug.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, lending support to generations of farm families for 100 years. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit Illinois offers financial products and services geared specifically to the agricultural community.
It's National Mulled Wine Day. Mulled simply means heated or spiced. The wine apparently dates back to the Roman Empire during the first century of the rule of Tiberius. The recipe from then still exists today, and it includes honey, pepper, saffron, and date pits that have been soaked in wine to produce a soft mash. By medieval times, mulled wine was often preferred over water because it was thought to be more sanitary. By the 1500s, there were a number of methods for mulling wine, many involving honey and cinnamon. The biggest mulled wine punch bowl ever goes to British Admiral Edward Russell. who commanded a batch, be made with 600 bottles of rum, 600 bottles of brandy, and several tons of boiling water. It was spiced with 200 pounds of nutmeg, 600 pounds of sugar, and the juice of 2,400 lemons. On this day in agricultural history in 1709, Andreas Sigmund Markgraf was born. A German chemist, in 1747, he extracted sugar from the sugar beet and determined it was identical to cane sugar. He used alcohol to extract the sugar, but his method did not lend itself to commercialization. It was not until 1802 that the first sugar beet refinery would be built. In 1797, the first patent for a washing machine was issued to Nathaniel Briggs. A fire destroyed the patent office, and no description of the device exists. And in 1879, Elmer McCollum was born. He was a chemist who discovered vitamins A, B, and D. And that's this day in agricultural history.
From Lincoln Land Community College in Litchfield, Illinois, I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. It is the second day of March. We're now joined by Drew Lerner. He's at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Drew, thanks for being with us this afternoon. It's kind of sunny here, although there's some weather about in the United States. Can you tell me about that and then maybe turn your attention to South America?
Yes, it looks as though really for the next day or so we're going to be all right across a big part of the Midwest, but there is another disturbance that's up in Minnesota and parts of North Dakota right now that will be racing to the southeast through the heart of the Midwest as we move out through this next 12 to 24-hour period. And so we will see a chance for precipitation evolving across a fair amount of the region as we get into the night tonight and into the day tomorrow. The precipitation is not expected to be real substantial, but everybody from Iowa and Missouri eastward to Ohio and Kentucky will be impacted with this system. Moisture totals will probably run, maybe 15 hundredths of an inch upwards to maybe 3 or 4 tenths of an inch, but I don't think we'll see much more than that. And there will be snow across the northern part of this region, just a couple of inches. Once that storm system is out of the way, there will be a second event that will move through the Great Lakes region, and that will occur as we finish out this week, probably on Friday. Not likely to have a huge impact, except in that immediate area in Wisconsin and Michigan, where there'll be some light snowfall. The real news for the U.S. Midwest is going to be a storm system that is expected to evolve next week, and it looks like it'll be a real doozer. It's going to likely produce widespread moisture across all of the Midwest, and if some very heavy rains are likely to come up from the lower Mississippi River Basin area into the Ohio River Valley, and perhaps on into the southeastern corner of the country. And we could see multiple inches of rain come with this event with some potential for severe thunderstorms. It could be really quite a mess, so we want to keep an eye on that. There's some planting that's underway right now near the Gulf Coast, and that's all going to come to a halt. They may even have to replant some of that if it gets too wet there. In the meantime, it's a little dry in the High Plains region, a hard red winter wheat country from Colorado down to West Texas. These areas aren't going to see a lot of precipitation for a while. I don't think it's a big deal right now, but we do need to put some moisture in the ground to help support some of these crops that are greening up right now.
And I made note this morning that Informa raised their numbers for both the Argentine corn crop and the Brazilian corn crop, also for the soybean crop, but they dropped the soybean crop in Argentina in total numbers. Does that make sense to you, and what's the weather like there?
Yeah, it really does. The conditions in South America, despite all the media hype we've heard over the last few months, has really been very good, and I don't think there's any real good reason for shrinking the crop down in any particular area. Now, Argentina did have some flooding of significance here recently, and I think that's probably why there's a little bit of concern for a small part of the crop, but really the big picture is tremendous for South America.
Hey, thanks, Drew, for being with us today.
Thank you. Have a great day. Enjoy the Litchfield area.
Thank you so much. Drew Lerner, of course, is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Helps us wrap up this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Don't forget to visit our website at willag.org, W-I-L-L-A-G.org. You can still buy your tickets for the All-Day Ag Outlook. That's next Tuesday at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. A dozen of our regular on-air analysts will be there. We'll have four folks from the university system to talk about the do's and don'ts of production agriculture and how to save money, too. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.